We open the Word of God this morning to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, the last chapter of the book of John. We're going to read the first 19 verses. Our text is verses 15 through 17. John 21, beginning to read at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. To that point we read the holy and inerrant word of God. Our text is verses 15 through 17. I won't reread that again. What about Peter? That's the question, that is the reason for the content of John chapter 21. What about Peter? Remember that before Jesus had been arrested, tried, and crucified, Peter, boasting in his own strength, said to the Lord in front of the other disciples, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee," and of course those were the all men, "though these men shall all be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And then, of course, what happened, children? He was offended at Jesus, wasn't he? When Jesus was arrested and when Jesus was tried. Peter denied the Lord 3 times before a servant girl, no less. He was offended at the Lord and at the crowing of the rooster and at the look of the Lord Jesus into his eyes. Peter recognized his sin, and the shame and guilt flooded over him, and he ran out knowing his sin and weakness. He was restored by Jesus Christ privately after the resurrection. Remember, when Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the women, he said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm risen from the dead. Specifically, I want you to say this to Peter." And then Jesus appeared to Peter individually. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that, verses 4 and 5, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. In a private one-on-one appearance, Christ came to Peter, undoubtedly to restore him privately. We don't have any record of what was said in that time, but you can imagine the repentances in Peter, the tears of sorrow, and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus expressed to him. But all of that was private. Nobody knew anything about that, and nothing is recorded about it. And so the question still is left hanging. What about Peter? Is he still an apostle? The disciples don't even know at this point. What about Peter? Has he disqualified himself? Are we supposed to give any weight to his word? What calling, if any, does he have from the Lord Jesus? Is the church down through the ages supposed to give heed to what he writes? And so before the book of John closes, there is this record of the public restoration of Peter to his office. That's what our text is. The public restoration of Peter before many witnesses, before the apostles, the disciples themselves. Christ will speak to Peter, lead Peter to humility, to confession of his sin in front of these other men. Give Peter the opportunity to express his love for the Lord. And he will restore the office to Peter. "Follow me, Peter. Feed my sheep." That's the calling that Peter and the other apostles have. And that's the calling the ministers of the gospel have too. Feed my sheep. I'm going to speak to the elders as well this morning, because the minister functions, of course, as part of the consistory. And together they work. 3 times this charge is given to the office bearer. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And do so because you love me. The theme of the sermon this morning is feed my sheep. We'll notice first that calling. Second, the qualifications needed for that task. And third, the possibility that one has those qualifications and therefore feeds the sheep. Feed my sheep. The calling, the qualifications, and the possibility. The Lord, in restoring Peter to his office, gives Peter this calling 3 times. Feed my sheep. And each time he does so with those 3 words. Feed my sheep. Since the Lord repeats it 3 times, let's look at it 3 times. Each time emphasizing a different one of those words. First, feed my sheep. My sheep, Peter. As elsewhere in the sacred scriptures, God's flock is a flock of sheep. The disciples recognized this, of course. Jesus had used this image earlier in John chapter 10 when Jesus called himself the great shepherd of the sheep who lays down his life for the sheep. This is a common thing for the Lord to call his people his sheep. And not even just the Lord, but throughout sacred scripture. Psalm 23, we are sheep. And as you know, sheep are weak, often defenseless, vulnerable to be led astray, sometimes do foolish things, sometimes they don't even know that they are. And that's maybe the worst part about sheep. They don't realize it about themselves. Reverend Klein, this is your third charge. Of course, from one point of view, I wish I could tell you you're coming to a place where there's no sins, no pastoral work to deal with. But just as in Spokane, just as in Hudsonville, you've come to care for sheep. That's what we are. We're sheep. We have needs. We have our own struggles. We have our own weaknesses. And I'm one of them too. And God sets these sheep before you and before you elders and entrusts them to your care as sheep, sheep that he loves. Young and old, old and young. You notice that the Lord Jesus speaks concerning both the older, mature sheep and the little lambs in the text. Verses 16 and 17, the word is sheep, the adult sheep. And then in verse 15, it's the lambs, feed my lambs, the little ones, the youth. And he still calls them mine, part of my flock. Not when they get older, then they will be part of my flock. When they get older, then they'll be my sheep. But now, as lambs, they are mine. And since they, as well as the adults, are members of the covenant and church of God, Christ calls the minister and the elders specifically to care for them too. The little ones, children, isn't that wonderful? Young people, that the Lord Jesus thought specifically to entrust you to the charge of ministers to is his sheep, given to them, calling them to feed you, to care for you. Feed my sheep. Then second, feed my sheep. Repeated three times, but what you don't see in English is that it's not the same word all three times when it says, feed my sheep. There's one word for feed in verse 15, and then another word for feed in verses 16 and 17. And the difference between the two words is significant in the original language. The second word for feed, feed my sheep, in verses 16 and 17 is more general and refers to all the work of a shepherd with sheep, the tending of the flock, all the things that the form mentioned when it brought up this image and passage, to feed, to guide, to protect, to rule the flock, to tend to all the various needs, to care for, to encircle, to enfold, to guide and direct. This is no passive labor to which you are called, minister and elders. Sheep do not tend themselves. They must be tended. The Lord's charge to the office bearers is not sit back and just let them go And when one finds himself in the mouth of a wolf, then step in and do something. But tend to them daily. Think about them. Pray for them. Minister to them in all the ways in which they need it. Don't be overbearing either. There's another ditch, of course. But tend to my sheep. This means ensuring that the sheep are following the doctrines that are the Word of God. And no false doctrine into which they may be led. Holding the traditions taught in Scripture. It means ensuring that all things are done decently and in good order amongst the flock. It means that there's proper worship given from the heart and according to God's Word. It means that this flock in their togetherness and in their individualness and in their familiness would be led in mind and heart and soul to follow the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, speak to their minds and speak to their hearts through their minds so that they're tended in every way. It means warning the sheep of dangers. It means knowing this flock so that you know the dangers that are there for this flock as a whole, as individual sheep, as families. Get to know them. Get to know them better, elders. Not that you're lax in that, but always more. Or to know the winds of doctrine that blow, winds of false doctrine that would be an encumbrance upon the sheep. Or to know the culture that is around us so that we understand the temptations that especially the youth, college students face. Know the sheep. From the pulpit and pastoral work, tend to the flock. In family visitation, which is not routine, but tending to the flock there, thinking about this family to which we are going to visit and the needs of this particular family spiritually. In every aspect of the work, Reverend Klein, minister of the word, in your individual conversations, in Bible study, in your pastoral visits, tend to the flock. And especially as part of that tending, minister and elders, feed the flock over which you've been entrusted. Just as shepherds have a lot of tending to do in a lot of different ways, the care for the sheep means a lot of different things, but at its heart, it is this, to feed them, to nourish them, to lead them to green pastures, to quiet waters daily. So too, this is the central and great calling of the minister of the word and of the elders. And so the other word for feed is more specific and is this. Specifically, give them the spiritual food they need. That's the word of God. Bring the word of God faithfully. Feed this flock, Reverend Klein, with the sacred scriptures. We long for the scriptures. Bring it to individuals, to families from this pulpit. There is no situation we will find ourselves in that does not need the Word of God. The Word we know will bind us up when we are brokenhearted. The Word we know will build us up when we are cast down. The Word. And Christ, through it, will call the errant member, errant sheep, back to the flock. The Word will drive away a wolf that would seek to destroy the sheep. The Word will break the hard heart. The Word will bind up the broken. The Word, Reverend Klein, your staff and your rod, is the Word of Jehovah God. Bring it, apply it to the people of God in general and in particular. Bring it to the little lambs. Write to them, feed them, spoon feed them, the word of Jehovah God. Elders, oversee the proclamation of the word as you have in the past. Ensure that the preaching of the word is true doctrine and not false doctrine. False doctrine destroys the sheep. ensure that the word is brought with a shepherd's heart to the people of God, and I have all confidence both will be true. That God's word is applied powerfully to the people of God, encouraging, convicting, strengthening, building them up, comforting. Make sure the cross is central, that the word of Jesus Christ and his glorious gospel is brought to us. Congregation, the ministers and elders and deacons too, are not fundraisers. They're not program administrators. They're not community organizers. They are feeders of sheep. The first calling from the Lord Jesus here is feed my sheep. Their second calling from the Lord Jesus is feed my sheep. And their third calling from the Lord Jesus is feed my sheep. Encourage them in this. Thank them for this. The minister in particular must spend hours in his study preparing to bring the word. This is the most loving thing that he can do for you. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns in the clouds of glory, Reverend Klein, the one question he will have for you with regard to your time in First Church is, did you tend my flock and did you feed my sheep? After all, he will say, they are my sheep. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, and feed my sheep, they're mine. Not to do with as you please, but as I please. And I call you to feed them. They're mine. I bought them with my precious blood. I hold them dear to myself. They're mine, precious to me. The most valuable thing I left upon the earth when I ascended up into heaven was my sheep. My sheep I left behind. And now I call you to care for them, to tend to them, to feed them. Not that long ago, I had to let go of the calling to particularly feed these sheep. Because you're not my sheep. And how faithful the shepherd whose sheep we are is to give us another under shepherd to feed us. And who knows himself too, just like in Spokane and just like in Hudsonville, they're not his. But they're Christ's. But because they're Christ's, the calling so much the greater. The weight so much heavier. They're his sheep whom he adores, whom he gave himself to the pit of hell for, to capture unto himself for time and for eternity. And now says to a minister of the gospel, feed them on my behalf and I working through you, feed them. The only way that any office bearer, minister, elder, or deacon can carry out this calling, still, of course, with many sins and weaknesses in themselves, but carry out this calling. The only way is if they what? How would you finish that sentence? The only way you can carry out this calling to tend to the flock and to feed the flock is if they love him. Yes, you too, but especially him. The question is not, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou my sheep? Then feed them. But the question is, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Three times. The Lord Jesus calls Peter, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And three times he calls Peter to that task on the basis of this question. Do you love me? Because if you love me, then you will feed my sheep. And you cannot feed my sheep if you do not love me. As an office bearer in the Church of Christ, the great sign that there is love for Jesus Christ in the office bearer is that he feeds the sheep of Christ. Because if we love him, and he adores them, then when he calls us to feed them, even when they're not so lovable, then we will, out of love for him, love them. The question is not either, Simon, son of Jonas, do you honor me? Do you talk about me more than other people talk about me? Do you fear me? Do you believe me? Do you understand me? Do you know more about me than the other people know more about thee? All things that are necessary qualifications for a minister and for an elder in Christ's church. Absolutely. But the Lord Jesus gives the qualification, the one that binds them all together, the sine qua non, the one without which there cannot be any other. The qualification that if it's not there, all the other qualifications mean nothing, will not help the church, but will harm it. Do you love me? If you are apt to teach, if you rule your own house well, if you're not given to much wine, if you're not guilty of filthy lucre, and yet you don't love me, you will only hurt the church. But if you love me, then I will take up all of those gifts. Use them in the service of my church. Do you love me? Love is a bond of devotion in fellowship, devotion of commitment to the object of love. Simon, son of Jonas, are you given over to me? The Lord, of course, had good reason to question Peter on this point, didn't he? Peter had denied the Lord three times, not very long ago. Do you love me, Peter? You said you did. You boasted about it, that you love me, even if everybody else forsook me. But then your actions spoke otherwise. And so what is it, Peter? You love me? Is it me that you love, Peter? Or is it something else? You merely love authority that I could give you in my church as an office bearer? Is it attention that you really love at the end of the day? As being an office bearer in my church grants you a certain amount of attention? Do you really love, Peter? Is this what you really love? That you love to take the lead and have people follow you? That's what it's all about? That's the object of your heart's desire? So that when there's pressure that comes, you give me up? What is it? Do you love the sound of your own voice? That's really all that it was? Or do you love me? Do you love me? Not even merely my words, although my words are me. Or my principles, or the stability that I can bring to your life. But me, as I am standing before you, the person of the Son of God made flesh, who gave himself up for your sins, was risen from the dead for you, and who loves you with an everlasting love. Love me. And then in verse 15, do you love me more than these? What was Jesus pointing to when he said, "Do you love me more than these?" There's a few options. The first thing he could have been pointing at was all of the fishing paraphernalia that was there on the shore. "Do you love me more than all these, Peter, that represent the life that you had just gone back to?" Remember verse 3? "I go a-fishing." And all the others had followed him. And Peter tasted something of the freedom of what that was, because he had tasted something of the burden of what the office was and of the pressure. And now, to go back to that life, Peter, free from all of that burden and all of that care and all of this, "You love me more than that?" The Lord could have been pointing to the disciples, the other disciples. "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these?" And he could have meant this when he said that. "Do you love me more than you love those men?" Peter was a leader amongst those men already. You can see that at the beginning of the chapter, because when he goes a-fishing, they say, "Oh, we will too." And they all join him. "Do you love me more than you love the comradeship of these men gathered about you and who hang on your word and who follow you?" The Lord is going to call Peter to a position where he'd be very much by himself. And the other disciples would go their own ways, Peter his own way. "You love me enough to go over by yourself and to minister to my people, Peter. Love me more than you love these men, leading these men." Or he could have been pointing at the disciples and saying, "Do you love me more than these?" and meant this. "Do you love me, Peter, more than these men love me? Do you love me in your heart more than these men love me in their hearts? Is the quantity of your love for me greater than the quantity of their love for me?" I'll tell you which one I believe it is in a moment. But first, realize that though Peter is a natural-born leader, though Peter is a gifted man, he's theologically gifted, was he not the first to confess, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? Though Peter is bold in his convictions, though he's a leader of men, without love for Christ, it means nothing to the Lord. For no man can tend to the sheep without love for Christ, whose sheep they are. When we are tired, and there's another meeting, and another meeting, and another meeting, and they keep coming, and this issue, and that, and this fire to put out, or this person to visit, only thing that will keep the officer going again and again and again — he needs rest too, of course — but keep going, and the fire within giving him spiritual stamina to go, is this: "I love this Christ who's given me this position, and whose sheep they are." And that fire can't be faked. And there can be no other fire that's put in place of that fire. Only that one, love for Christ within. And the office bearer is frustrated by his own inadequacies. And he sees his own weaknesses, his own personality defects, and the ways that affects his work. What keeps him going is to say, "I love Christ, and Christ put me here. Christ calls me to this. And Christ knows my personality, the sins that I battle all my life long. Out of love for him, I'll serve him best I'm able." And there's a stubborn sheep, stubborn family of sheep in the congregation. And the office bearer wants to let his old man go upon them. What holds him back? These are Christ's sheep. And I love Christ. Loving Christ, I love them. And we have to take the hit for something. It's not our fault. Or maybe for a decision that we didn't agree with in the first place in the consistory room over there. But the body made the decision, and the decision of the body is the decision of everybody. What keeps the office bearer from running through the congregation defending himself? I didn't vote for it. For the sake of peace in the congregation. I love Christ. And therefore I love these sheep. And I love the peace of the flock. There's discipline that has to be enacted wisely, judging whether or not now is the time for a sharp word, always in love, or for a gentle word. What will guide us is love for Christ and His word will be our guide. Without it, it can't happen. It won't happen. The sheep themselves, lovable as they are 99% of the time, are not enough to fuel that fire within. It must be this Christ. Eyes on Him. Love for Christ is the essential qualification for office. And yet, so is the recognition that the office bearer, minister or elder, has of himself that he doesn't love this Christ as he should. That too is an indispensable qualification for the feeder of sheep, the tender of the flock. Love for Christ and the realization, the consciousness of the fact that I don't love this Christ as I ought. That along with the sheep, I battle self-love every day. As the Lord presses Peter here concerning the essential qualification for a tender and a feeder of His flock, the Lord is at the same time testing Peter about this other qualification, this humility, this sense of His own sin and His own need. Probably you know that there are three different words for love in the Greek language. There's the word eros, which refers to the physical, psychical union of a man and a wife. There's the word phileo, which is a notch above that in terms of love, and that is a brotherly love, a love that's based on affection, the enjoyment one has with another, the commitment to a friendship for that enjoyment. And then there is a third word that is the highest of the three, agape, which is the love that is a reflection of the love of God for His people, unconditioned, unchanging, and other-centered love. The first two times that the Lord Jesus asks the question about love to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He uses the word agape. Do you agape me, Peter? Do you have this unconditional, faithful love for me, the love of God reflected in you? Peter does. But he responds and says, Lord, thou knowest I phileo thee. And he brings it down a notch. What else could he have done? He had denied the Lord three times. He can't say that I agape thee. And it wasn't an unchanging love that he showed, that's for sure. But he doesn't want to say that he doesn't love Jesus at all, because he does. He genuinely does. And he settles on phileo, which is exactly what the Lord Jesus wanted him to do, to show some humility publicly before these other men, to understand and declare his lack of love for the Lord Jesus, his sinfulness in what he's done. The Lord pushes it a bit further in verse 17. When he himself switches the word, The first two times, do you agape me, Peter? Thou knowest I phileo thee, Lord. Do you agape me, Peter? Thou knowest I phileo thee, Lord. And then the third time Christ says, do you phileo me, Peter? Do you even phileo me? And what will he say before all the men gathered there? You said earlier, Peter, though all men forsake thee, I will not forsake thee. You proudly proclaim that you had a greater love for me than all these men, the rest of my disciples. What do you say now? Do you still say that you love me with a greater love than they love me? Do you still hold on to that confession previously? Yes. I believe that when Jesus says, lovest thou me more than these, he means, do you still hold to what you said before? That you love me more than these men love me, Peter? He's stripping Peter down. Stripping away his self-reliance so that he expresses no confidence in himself. And his response, he shows he gets it. He doesn't say agape. He doesn't even dare say, Lord, I phileo thee. And he doesn't touch the matter of comparing his love to the love of the other disciples anymore. He's going to stay far away from that. He simply says, Lord, look in my heart yourself. Thou knowest all things. You know there's love for thee in there, Lord. I haven't loved thee as I ought. I confess it. You knew it. You told me it was going to happen, and it was, and I was relying upon myself, and I'm humbled at my own sin. But there is love for thee there too. Thou knowest, look in my heart, Lord, and see it. It's there. It's there. I do love thee. I do. I'm humbled at my lack of love, but I do. Reverend Klein, zeal and love for the Lord Jesus and humility that you don't love him as you ought. As these other men, elders with you, battle self-love, as these other sheep battle self-love, these are the two great qualifications for a feeder of sheep and a tender of the flock. Without humility, we lord our supposed great love over the sheep. Why can't they just love him like I love him? With humility. We love him. We do love him. Whether I love him more than anybody else, I'm not going to touch that. I love him. And I know that I don't love him as I ought. And I come alongside these sheep who love him and don't love him as they ought. And together on our knees, we pray together, Lord Jesus, give us more love for thee, more love for thee. Then the preaching, then the counseling, then all the work has a certain meekness, not weakness. Step on our toes. We need our toes stepped on. That's part of the tending of this flock. With a meekness of one beggar teaching other beggars where to find bread. The minister and the elders only attain these qualifications when they are themselves shepherded by the great shepherd Jesus Christ. These are spiritual qualifications. These are internal qualifications out of which they tend to and feed the flock. Only Christ can work them in his office bearers and does do so. And he does so by himself shepherding those office bearers. Is that not what he's doing with Peter? Is that not what this whole thing is all about for Peter? In his shepherding of Peter, he's working these two qualifications in Peter so that he can shepherd the flock. Peter had to be shepherded before he could shepherd. He had to know the depths of his sin before he could work with the sins of others. He had to know the shepherding and restoring work of Christ to forgive him before he could lead others there. He had to grow in a love for Christ that was real, that was not boasting in his own strength, but a brokenhearted love for him in the gospel. This is why every move of the Lord is calculated so carefully with love to lead Peter here to this humility and to this love for himself out of his brokenness. Why did Jesus wait so long to restore Peter? He wanted him to see his sin. Why did Jesus call him Simon, son of Jonas, instead of Peter or Cephas the rock, as he'd been calling him the whole time? He wanted him to think about this. You're not such a rock in your own strength, are you, Peter, but only in me? Why does he ask Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" Because Peter had denied the Lord 3 times. Peter knew that's exactly why he did it. He was grieved when he said to him the 3rd time, I denied him 3 times. He's going to ask me 3 times. Brother office bearers, has he stripped us of our self-reliance? If he has not, he will do so by the office itself. And if he has, which I'm sure he has, he will continue to do it by the office again and again, and praise be to him for it. He will not use greatly the man whom he has not broken deeply. But in the Lord's shepherding of Peter, he's not only stripping him down, he's also leading him to himself, where he finds forgiveness unconditionally, where he's brought again to fellowship. Even taste this before this public matter takes place. He's been restored privately. He's been on the shore eating, come and dine, Peter, you too. He knows the forgiving grace of Jesus Christ. Tasting that, he loves the Lord, not with a self-reliant love, but with a love that comes forth out of this gospel grace shown to him. Peter is qualified to be a tender of flocks, a feeder of sheep, as he's shepherded by the great shepherd himself. Brother pastor and brother elders, hear Christ this morning. Lovest thou me as I have loved you? Feed my sheep with that same love. Amen. Father, bless thy word to our hearing, we pray. And bless Reverend Klein as he takes up his labors here. Strengthen him, preserve him, keep him. And may we be an encouragement to him. And together keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.